Land of Light.
Land of Light.
In the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to the 16th weekly episode of the series Land of Light. Last week, we said Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, while still a six-year boy, was returning to his hometown Mecca with his mother, Amene, and their young maidservant, Baraka, after visiting the grave of his father in Yastrib, Medina of the future, when his mother, Amene, fell ill and passed away in the oasis of Abwa. It meant that he was now an orphan on both sides, having lost to the cold hands of death both father and mother. It was indeed a grave test for him from Almighty God at such a young age. He and the maidservant Baraka laid Amene to eternal rest and returned in grief to Mecca. Let's listen to the rest of the story. Sunrise heralded the arrival of a new day. The small caravan covered its path in the desert, heading for Mecca without Amene. It seemed that there was no end in sight to the desert. The sand seemed to burn under the scorching heat of the sun. The sound of the large bell of Amene's camel blended with the sounds of other camel bells, bringing memories to the boy of his dear mother. Meanwhile, Baraka wanted to somehow turn his attention away from the loss of his beloved mother. Baraka greatly loved the boy as her own son, and on his birth 6 years ago, felt as if she had also become the mother. Life had gained a new meaning for Baraka, who now shouldered the responsibility of taking care of this six-year orphan child. She little knew that he was destined to be the last and greatest prophet of God. But for the moment, the boy was a reminder to her of her dear master Abdullah and her dear lady Amene. Before dying, the mother had entrusted her son to Baraka's care, so the young maid felt duty-bound to take care of him and escort him safely to his paternal grandfather, Abdul Muttalib.
"Aren't you thirsty, my dear?"
The future prophet smiled and looked at Baraka, and although he knew the distance to his hometown, he asked her how far were they from Mecca, and she replied that only a few more days. Baraka tried to somehow deflect his attention from the loss of his dear mother.
"Haven't I told you the account of Abraha, the Abyssinian ruler of Yemen, and his elephant-led army? Let me tell you in more detail."
The future prophet knew the whole account better than Baraka, but allowed her to continue the conversation.
Thank you. event is well known among the Arabs and other nations and is known as Om Ulfil or the Year of Elephant. Until this day, the gateway of Mecca through which Abraha, seated atop an elephant, entered it along with his troops to try to storm the Holy Kaaba is known as Bab Ulfil or Gateway of Elephant.
The boy moved a bit on his camel litter and tried to test her knowledge of geography by asking her whether she knew where the city of Sana'a was.
Of course, Sana'a is in Yemen, which is situated south of Mecca. Yemen is a vast and developed land. Yemenis converse in Arabic language and maintain ties with the Quraysh tribe. Abraha was one of the commanders of the Christian Abyssinian troops, which had occupied Yemen after defeating Zunawas, the Jewish king of Yemen. King Negus of Abyssinia, who had sent his forces across the Red Sea to Yemen, had appointed Ariad as his viceroy of Yemen.
Aren't you from Abyssinia?
Yes, my dear, I have come from other side of the Red Sea.
Do you know how Abraha became the king of Yemen?
Abraha was one of the commanders of Ariad. A few years later, he was tempted to seize the rule and declare himself king, independent of King Negus of Abyssinia. Forces under his command vowed to support him. At a time, Ariad was in Sana'a and Abraha was in Jannat, some 240 kilometers south. Ariad decided to confront Abraha and they fought a battle resulting in the death of many soldiers. Abraha then sent a message to Ariad challenging him for the personal combat, with the victor becoming the sole ruler of Yemen. The tall, burly and strong Ariad accepted the challenge, full of confidence of defeating the short, stocky, slightly slouched Abraha, who was also nimble. Abraha knew well that he could not beat Ariad, so he hatched a plot and told his servant to kill Ariad from behind. The next day, the troops witnessed the fight between their two commanders. Ariad came forward with his red leather-made shield while holding a long spear. Abraha moved forward. Ariad targeted Abraha's head with his spear and the latter ducked, but the spear injured his forehead, eyebrows and eyelids, nose and upper lip. At a sight of Abraha's imminent defeat, his servant leapt from behind and pierced his lance in the heart of Ariad in violation of the rules of the combat. Ariad was killed and his forces came under the command of Abraha. Upon hearing what had happened, Negus was infuriated and vowed to go to Yemen and bring Abraha to justice. On learning this, the crafty Abraha wrote a letter to Negus announcing his commitment to Christianity and the Abyssinian king. Abraha said he and Ariad were both serving Negus, but Ariad didn't know how to govern the troops and the country, thereby making the soldiers disillusioned. Abraha claimed that fearing the possible loss of Yemen, he challenged and killed Ariad. Abraha went on to renew his allegiance to Negus and also sent a number of gifts to the royal court in Abyssinia. Negus, upon seeing the letter and gifts, calmed down and started to believe in the deceit of Abraha, thereby officially appointing him as the ruler of Yemen.
Thank you.
It was close to noon. Baraka and Muhammad could hardly forget Amine despite their conversation to while away the time. Both of them could hardly believe that Amine was no longer with them and that she was laid to rest in a remote village. The soft and kind voice of Amine could no longer be heard. Upon leaving Abwa, Muhammad had been constantly weeping for his mother, a matter which concerned Baraka. She tried her best to soothe his grief. Amine would have wanted to little son to be happy and to reach Mecca in good health. Dear listeners, thanks for being with us. Don't forget to tune in next week. Until then, God bless you and goodbye.